All right, Luke chapter 15, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful tonight for the opportunity to be here together, to enjoy this fellowship, to hear a couple of reports from folks praising the Lord for your goodness, Father. We are very thankful for that. And tonight, Father, we pray for our teens that are in their Bible study. We pray for all the kids that are in their Bible club tonight. We ask you, please, to help their teachers. Fill them with your Holy Spirit as they enjoy fellowship together, Father. We pray that they'll understand that the sweetness of fellowship with God's children, God's people, so much better than fellowship with the foolish and fellowship with the world. And I pray tonight, Father, you'll keep them safe and help them to find contentment in Jesus Christ and things in the Bible they hear that will help them to grow. Tonight, Father, I pray that you'll help us and that you will direct our attention to the simple things that are in the parable tonight to help us to understand, to help us to recognize what you've said here that would be beneficial to us and that would strengthen us. Lord, we pray for our folks here tonight that we are here and that we are edified and that you are glorified and honored by the magnifying of your word. We ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, this is a very simple parable. And Jesus, when he taught by parables, he gave incidences of ordinary things that people would understand and people could relate to. And, you know, you can relate to this guy, even if you don't know anything about sheep, and even if you don't know anything about being a shepherd, you can relate to this guy that has 100 sheep. And he's out in the wilderness, and he knows this, that he's missing one of his sheep. And rather than just go on without that, when he stops with those 99 in the wilderness, and he goes after that lost sheep until he finds it, and then when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders, and he brings it back to the flock and puts them all together, and then he keeps going. And when he gets home, he rejoices with his friends that he found that lost sheep. That was an important thing to him. You know, a shepherd that's caring for his sheep and is with them all the time becomes familiar with them more than just by the count. We know that there were 100, but he's familiar with them and there's a relationship with them. I remember years ago at the ranch, we had a remuda. Some of you know what a remuda is. You're familiar with that term, but some of you may not know that was just a herd of horses that were used by the cowboys on the ranch when we were working cattle. And because everything was done on horseback, every cowboy had 3 horses. And at one time we had 30 hands living on the ranch, this many years ago, so that remuda was nearly 100 horses. And what would happen every morning is they'd go out and gather those horses out of the horse trap and bring them to the corral and then sort the ones that they were going to ride for the day, saddle those, and we'd go out on the horseback. When those horses would come in, you'd see a guy up like this, counting, to make sure they're all there. Well, they had one fella that used to count the remuda, but the trouble is he didn't know how to count. He really couldn't. He couldn't count to 90. Seriously. But they would ask him, are they all here? And he'd say, you know that one with the white face and that white stocking right foot? He's not here. He knew them by who they were and not by their number. And so when you think about this shepherd here who's lost one of his sheep, though we know it's just one of 100, to him, spending the time that he does with these sheep. It's more personal than that. Do you understand? It's that one that's gotten away before. It's that one, and he knows the characteristics of that sheep that's not here. So he leaves those to go find that sheep. And you know, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, because this parable leads to the end, which is there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's what he's showing us. And Jesus Christ being the good shepherd and sheep, in this case, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, being those, it's personal with him. It's more than just numbers. And so whenever we think in terms of applying a parable like this to soul winning or to sowing the seed of the Word of God or entering the harvest or however you want to look at going to the lost, it's personal with the Lord. It's more than just numbers. A lot of times you talk to people and they say, yeah, we had 375 in church on Sunday. And that's good because last year this time they had 350 in church on Sunday or something like that. And so they're sort of gauging the growth. But it's numerical. And with God, it's not just numerical. It's personal. It's very personal. And because it's personal with him and because Jesus Christ died for us and died for the lost, it's very important that we understand in looking at a parable like this and looking at an opportunity that we have in our lives to meet people and in this upcoming opportunity to go to the parade, that there are lost sheep out there. They really are. I mean, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, and he's doing this for just one that he lost, there are more lost people out there than there are safe people out there that you run into, and particularly if you do something big like the parade, you're going to find a lot of people there have wandered away, and Jesus Christ died for them. And so he said a shepherd would do this for one. That person that you know, that person that I know, or those people that you and I know that are lost, they're personal with the Lord. You know, the Bible says in John that unless the Father draw them, they're not gonna come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, everybody is drawn by the Lord at some point. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. God deals with everybody at some point about their souls. So where does that put us? Where do we come in on this? Well, in verse 4 he says, because we have to recognize there are those that are lost out there. What did he say? Go after that which is lost. Do you see that in verse 4? Go after that which is lost. You know, that in itself is just a good piece of that verse. Just go after that which is lost. You know, one of the reasons that people for whom we pray have not gotten saved is that we haven't gone. One of the reasons is that we haven't gone to them with the intention of finding them. In other words, you have somebody that you love that's lost. You have somebody that you know that's lost that you talk to or talk to God about. But at some point, the Holy Spirit leads us to go. The whole time when you read through the Bible, and I think when Brother Logan was here and he was preaching, he kept pointing out to us from time to time how many times the Bible says, go. Just go. Go after that which is lost. One of the great things that I'm looking forward to on this Saturday that's coming up May the 5th is that there will be people on that parade route, no doubt, because there's thousands of people there. There will be, no doubt, somebody that the Lord is working on. Somebody that the Lord is drawing. No doubt about it. Jesus Christ goes and he's in Samaria and all of a sudden he sits down at a well and here's this woman. He says, I'm thirsty, get me something to drink. And you know how that story turned out. And then he goes in and there's a pool of Siloam and there's this man that's there by the, what is that, by the sheep pool. And he's impotent. He's, the man can't even walk. He says, is there anybody that can put you in the water? You know, when the angel comes to disturb the water, he says, no, there's no man. And the Lord deals with him. There will be people there like that. And you won't know, you don't know who they are. The Lord knows who they are. And if you'll go with the intention of going after the lost, then the blessedness of what you're going to do is that God can use you to help him find the lost sheep. Now this man in verse 4 goes after that which is lost, watch it, until he find it. He didn't go and just like, well, I didn't find him. Let's just get the rest of this flock and go. He went knowing that he was going to stay with that until he found that lost sheep. Very diligent in his work when he was out there. And so he says, until he find it. When we get ready to go, and this is Sunday, we'll talk a little bit more in detail about these kind of things, but if you decide that you're going to be there to go after the lost, and you go with the intention of finding a lost sheep, that is, of handing a tract to somebody that may be lost that they could read to find the Lord Jesus Christ, or even engaging in a conversation with somebody. You know, the interesting thing is, God is doing something out there. You know, I remember a couple years ago we were out there, and so I like to talk anyways. Some people don't, and you're just going to want to go and pass out tracts. Let me tell you something. That is huge work. Bain is a farmer. How much crop comes up if you don't sow seed? None. So this seed sowing is very, very valuable. You say, I don't feel like talking to anybody. Fine. Then you go out like a farmer and just sow all the seed you can. That is vastly important. But there will be other people out there who are going after that which is lost with the intention of finding it. And I remember we were out there one time and I walked up to this lady to give her a tract and she looked at me like that was the greatest thing that she'd ever received. This is about the Lord. And she was like, thank you so much for this. And I said, why are you so thankful? She said, because I know that I need the Lord. And I'm like, I wonder where I go from here in this conversation. Anyway, so I knelt down beside her chair and we began to go through the gospel. And she literally was waiting for somebody to tell her about Jesus Christ. And so we went all the way through the gospel. And you know, when you're out there on a parade route, you're not sure what the person's thinking about and all that. I said, after all that, I said, there's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She smiled and I said, so what would you like to do? Would you like to receive Jesus Christ or do you want more time to think about that? She said, I don't need any more time to think about it. I want to receive Jesus Christ. You know what? We found it. You found it. And when the men go on Tuesdays, you know what? There are lost sheep out there on those boats. And there's a lot of that that's like farming and seed sowing, but every once in a while there's a conversation that strikes up with somebody. And you know what they've done? They've gone after the lost. They're getting saved because somebody goes on board to do the work. You can be here, all of us can be here and just pray and pray and pray. God, please save those souls that are lost on the ships. But it just takes somebody to finally go over there and find one of them. And you see their pictures out there. So if you go after that which is lost, with the intention of finding it until he find it. You stay with it diligently until God has that opportunity. Then he says here, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Why would he do that? Because he intends to bring it back, right, to the flock. He layeth it on his shoulders. The idea is that a lot of times, in a public venue like this, it may be more difficult, but you never know. How many of you have benefited since you've been saved by being in a church where you could grow? Absolutely, right? And so sometimes you have to, sometimes when you have somebody that you've led to the Lord, you saddle yourself with the responsibility of hauling this lug around just a little while until they get used to being in church. I'm looking around, I'm seeing some of you, we had to lug around a little while. And today it was worth it, amen? It was the right thing to do. And so that's what you do. You lay it on, and look, verse 5. I know this isn't any kind of a fancy thing. It's all in the parable. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, and he's really upset about it too, isn't he? What's his attitude? He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. He is rejoicing. You know, on this side, so let's say this is an opportunity for you to be used by God, to be able to talk with somebody about their soul and have them receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and be saved. And on this side of that opportunity, it's like, that is the scariest thing that I've ever done in my life. It's like, man, I don't know if I could ever do that. What you don't know is the joy on this side of that experience. And what's holding you back is the fear on this side of that experience. It's kind of like somebody that wants to go bungee jumping, and they're up there and they're like, oh yeah, I'll do that. That looks like fun. And then they get up there and all strapped in and they stand on the edge and it's 1,000 feet down there suddenly. And they're like, ain't no way. You know, I'm not going to do that. And finally they jump and afterwards they're like, wow, I want to do that again. Now they found out that it was a lot of fun. Paratroopers, all that kind of stuff. Much time dealing with souls is just the same way. But what's happened is when there's a soul that comes to Jesus Christ, the Bible says there is rejoicing. And notice, it's personal. Did you see that? It's personal. He layeth it on his shoulders, and he's the one rejoicing. Then watch. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. Who are your friends and neighbors? Well, in this case, it'd be like us here in the church. Wouldn't it be something to be used by the Lord on Saturday, May the 5th, to talk to a lost soul about Jesus Christ because you went after the lost with the intention of finding one and you found somebody that the Lord was drawing and came back here on Sunday and said, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. And listen, it's not just personal with you, and it's not just that your friends and your neighbors get to rejoice, but in verse 7, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Amazing that in heaven, on that day, there could be rejoicing because you went after that which is lost. Isn't that an amazing thing? And it's not just about May the 5th, although this seems to be thoroughly on my mind because of the opportunity, but it also has to do with the friend that you're praying for. Just remember this as we close. You've got a neighbor that you're praying for or a friend that you've been visiting with, and you're waiting on an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. And I firmly believe that you should be, because you've heard me preach on that, led by the Lord into those opportunities. But I believe sometimes those opportunities pass us because we don't go. And that's, we don't want to hesitate when we consider that this is personal with the Lord and becomes personal to us when the sheep get found and the rejoicing starts. Father, thank you for an opportunity to encourage us just a little bit in this parable about the opportunity to go after that which is lost. May we be encouraged by what we've heard tonight to do so, for we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.